Well, good morning, everyone. This is a a special time of the year. Obviously, we've been good to see you. It's well, obviously we're celebrating the times around the birth of Christ. That's a good thing. It's a time where people sometimes go on vacations. Sometimes they're coming back soon. Sometimes they're coming back a little longer. There's also some times where people go on mission trips. And I've asked Reese to come up and maybe share a little bit with us, and I'll have JK do it some next week for his part. But brother, if you'd come forward.
Well, Miss Pat, who was over there, handed me a bullet, but she's a wonderful leader. She's walked in the door and she said, "You serve." Immediately, the first thought I came was, "What do you mean you serve? We all serve. Because I know that this church prayed while the Lord was gracious enough to take us to North Carolina safely and back." Sarah said, telling me I should have a mic.
Oh, right beside you.
Here's a couple of things that came to mind. We saw one person get saved. It was the first lady that we spoke to on Monday morning, the first house we visited, and it was a lady in her early 40s, and she, the Samaritan's Purse people were working on this big, gigantic tree, the back of her house that was hanging very precariously over her house. And as a matter of fact, they did smack her house, just the corner of her roof, and she's like, "Don't worry about that. We're just glad that that thing is gone because it was enormous." There was a hill that there was a cemetery behind her home where this tree actually belonged. It wasn't even in her yard. But so we just let her talk and we just asked him how he holding up, and she said, "You got to kind of decipher a little bit what people are saying because you just want them to talk. You just ask them how they're holding up. Were they in the storm? Where were they during the storm? Just to get them talking." And she said, "My husband and I were in the corner room, and my kids, she there was seven kids between her and her husband, and her parents lived with them," right? So I said, "Okay, so you're all in the house and you rode out the storm." She said, "Yes, but my husband and I were really scared because we are well aware about these giant trees behind our house." And I said, "Well, what was that like?" So she kept talking and talking and talking. And I said, "What would have happened? What do you think? What would have happened if that tree did crush?" Because that's what she kept reciting in the back, to us. Like, "What would have happened to you and your husband if that tree would have fallen in your bedroom that night?" "Well, would you like to know what the Bible has to say about that?" And she says, "Yes, I would." And so we just, go through the Steps to Peace little pamphlet that the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association gives you, and that's the Billy Graham way. They don't want you to really, I mean, you just get them to talk, and there's no four spiritual laws or Roman road, and it's just the Billy Graham way. That's what they want you to. So. And she says, and then once you get to the idea, and she has a couple of new thoughts. She says she's a good lady. She works and helps the homeless every chance she gets, having have experienced homelessness in her early adult years, and that she actually knew of a family in Swannanoa who lost 10 family members at the same time in the storm, a couple two and a half months ago. But anyway, we just went through it, and at the end of the gospel presentation, it was clear to her that her good works of sharing and ministering to the homeless in her own very special way was not going to get her to heaven. And that, I mean, you can just see God changing her heart right in front of you on her doorstep. And just as these new thoughts just flood her mind that she needs Jesus and she has a problem, it's called sin, and that sin separates her from God, and that God sent us his son so to bridge us to himself. So that was wonderful. And then the rest of the week, no other, people that we saw that wanted to Jesus. There's some people that just flat out won't even let us pray with them. Nope. And we're like, we just respect that. And we said, okay. But here's two thoughts that I came away from this trip. And we have a chaplain coordinator that challenged us. He said, two things I want you to take back to your home with you. One, what is one thing that you learned about Jesus right now that you learned before this trip? And two, what have you learned about yourself that you may not have learned about before, through this experience? One, about Jesus, he's the God of all comfort. And he comforts us so that we can comfort others that he brings into our path. One of my favorite Christmas songs is Holy Night, when he says, long lay the world in sin and error pining until he appeared, then the soul felt its worth.
Amen. Right?
That's comfort.
Yeah.
And the second thing that I learned about God is that he's not done writing his story through the hearts of people. He has given you in this church and all of us a God's story, and he just wants us to share it. And he's still in the business of writing his story in the hearts and lives of people. You know, I like what Paul says, he says, you are our epistle written in tablets of stone, but the tablets of the heart. So that's, and God is just willing to use us. You'd be so proud of those words. And I really, truly believe that because of you guys' prayer, those three young men that came with us, and JK, people were just very impressed. They were engaged. They were encouraging. They worked their tails off. They did not complain. They got up early in the morning at 6 o'clock every morning to get to breakfast and get in the community by no later than 8 o'clock. And they never complained once. And they were happy. People that were working alongside of them, other volunteers, are very thankful for that. So thank you for praying with us and for us. And I do believe that it's not just us who serve, we all serve as a church because we all have roles to play, and I don't think God would have showed up as much as he did if people back home here in Juneau didn't pray for us. So, praise God.
Amen. Thank you and welcome back. And Clive, just so you know, not next week, but the following week, the first Sunday of the new year, at one point, you and Garrett and Tel get to share a little bit. Next week, JK's going to, which he doesn't know yet, so feel free to brief him. And I'll tell you, listening to the story, I was deeply touched by the whole thing. Because if you think back in the days after the Civil War, where you got your mule and 40 acres of land, and that was good, and that was plenty. It's a big garden. And if you think about it, they spend an inordinate amount of time cutting trees down, removing the stumps, getting the rocks out of the field. And if you went to Iowa to the Evie and her family's farmland, you'd look down in a couple places, there's a whole bunch of rocks piled up. And that's because every year more rocks would come up. It's almost like they were growing rocks in addition to corn and soybeans. And they'd have to pile the rocks. So they clear the land. They have to continually maintain that land. And sometimes that means fertilizing. It's what might seem like an odd time or spring. And then there's a time where they till the field, where they literally plow, or less than that now, minimum till now, but do that. And then there's a time for planting, and you spend a lot of time doing it. But at the end of the season, there's that one small window of harvest. And it's a blessing when God lets you in on the harvest. But it's also a blessing when he lets you in on clearing the land. And I'm confident when you were saying what you were saying about people that didn't want you to pray with them, the land was still being cleared. The land was being cleared. And as things went along, rocks were being picked up and set aside. The fields were plowed. Seeds were planted. And now there'll still be another harvest. Up until the Lord returns, there'll be harvest after harvest. But it seems like you spend more time clearing the land, plowing the field, planting the field, fertilizing the crops, and then the harvest. So fret not. There is no loss in witnessing at any time. It's all gain. You go, well, I didn't get to lead 4,000 people to the Lord. No, but at some point, a bunch are going to come because of the work that was laid down. You know, John the Baptist, well, we'll talk more about that in a minute. Before we start, before we pray, sometimes you look at something in your own life and you think, wow, this is hard stuff. And then you realize maybe it's not just you. Maybe it's the day and age. And just a quick example. Yesterday morning, I had an email hit my tablet. And it was addressed to me at one of my email addresses. Had stated my name and my phone number. And my address, except my address was in Missouri, and it told me that they know everything about me. This is called a hack job. And said, we know stuff about you that nobody knows, and we're going to tell if you don't pay $2,000. Well, I paid it up by deleting the email. Okay, move forward. If you're walking through the field and there's a snake, and you recognize it because it's got the slitted eyes this way, and you recognize because its head's funny shaped and it's got pits on both sides, if you take time to look that close, and you decide, oh, it's a poisonous snake, I'm going to get out of the way. You step around it or lop its head off. But the fact is, it's a small thing. It's not the big thing, it's the small thing. The route that you're on, the path home, is the big thing. So I lopped its head off as best I could. And then the next thing that happens is I get two contacts from Missouri. And they're, one's from Temple Bethel, Jewish congregation. And the other one is from a friend that works a lot with pro-Israeli movement at the University of Missouri. And anyway, the second one, my friend contacted me, said there's a guy who's a Jewish gentleman that goes to Palestinian or Muslim gatherings, and it gets his permits, sets up his table, puts out his material, and calmly will discuss with it anybody that comes to him. A lot of complaints. The university police investigated. They said there's no problem. Everything's being done constitutionally and peacefully and in order. And it went up, and all of a sudden, the university president kicks him out and gives him a no trespass warning. So they were dealing with that, and they wanted to share and see if I had any ideas. Then while that's going on, I have a phone call from this lady who's a federal law enforcement officer, and she's Jewish. And she's going through some things, end up referring her to some others. And I'm thinking, man, it was just me this morning. And now you got these two groups dealing with some serious issues. And then I get a little intelligence alert. And the intelligence alert was real simple. An FA-18 Hornet in the Mideastern waters took off from the Harry S. Truman aircraft carrier and was immediately shot down. It was immediately shot down by one of our guided missile cruisers. And generally speaking, it's not possible for us to have a friendly fire incident in one of those areas because everything is hooked together. It's hooked together, and we shouldn't be able to shoot our own aircraft down. Guided missile carrier took the FA-18 Hornet. And by the way, there are no other Hornets in the Mideast and anywhere in that area except from our battle group. So you go, how did that happen? And here's the answer. I don't know. But it wasn't just me and getting a hack job email. It wasn't just the Jewish community in two different communities in Missouri. It was also the United States. And you start looking, and when attacks come, they're usually broad-based attacks. But remember the snake. Just lop its head off and move forward. Move forward. Stay on task for what God's put before you. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But before we open our Bibles, if you would, bow your heads, please. Heavenly Father, Lord God, in Jesus' name we come to you. Father, I ask you to help us to continually surrender to you. I ask you to continually work in our hearts so that we trust in you with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways, acknowledge you, seek you, and you will direct our path, God. That's what your word says. So, Father, we claim that. As we yield, you guide. So, Father, help us to yield well. And Father, I ask you to open our hearts to the scripture that you have before us today. God, I ask you to give us the historical significance, but more importantly, what are you really saying and what are you saying to us? Open our hearts to receive and to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. I was so thankful when I listened as Yuming read the scripture or part of the scripture this morning. And we're going to go through it again, and then we'll just walk through it, I guess. It says in verse 57 of Luke 1, and that just before that, remember, Mary had stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months, and that started in Elizabeth's sixth month of her pregnancy. So now Mary stayed until it's around 9 months, and we know what happens right in that time frame. When it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been merciful to her, everyone rejoiced with her. When the baby was 8 days old, they all came to the circumcision ceremony. They wanted to name him Zechariah after his father, but Elizabeth said, "No, his name is John." Now I'm going to pause there for a moment. Obviously, Abby and I are married. We have two sons, one of which is present. Say hi, Josiah. You take every opportunity to embarrass them. I love talking about things like I got to deliver him and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, won't do a lot of that. Well, not much. But I will tell you that one day I was going to work and I was walking out of the basement of this building. And God just spoke to my heart right outside the furnace room door. And he said, "Your firstborn will be a son, and his name is Josiah." I didn't know Evie then, had no intention of being married. And a couple years later, we were married. And a little while after that, Evie was in the family way, and we were talking about names. And I'd shared, and she said, that's right. And our firstborn was a boy. And his name's Josiah. As a couple years more pass, and well, anyway, Evie's going to have another baby. And I said, "Well, what do you think we ought to call him?" And Evie goes, "I don't know. What do you think?" And I said, "How about Elijah?" And she goes, "No, his name's John." And that's one of those ones where, so I walk away, and I'm confident that I'm right and she's wrong. Well, I said, "Lord, would you just show me what you want this boy to be called?" And he gave me a scripture. And remember, there was this guy named Zechariah who walked into the Holy of Holies as the priest at the moment. And this angel Gabriel appeared. And Zechariah didn't want to believe. And Zechariah doesn't get to talk for the next 9 months plus. And I went, "Ha." And I went back to Evie and said, "His name's John, because I don't want to not talk." I don't know if that's what God was going to do, but God sure gave me a story to deal with. And by the way, our second is John. So with that in mind, when the baby was 8 days old and they came for the circumcision ceremony and they wanted to name him Zechariah after his father, but Elizabeth said, "No, his name is John." "What?" they exclaimed. "There's no one in all your family by that name." So they used gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted to name him. He motioned for a writing tablet. And to everyone's surprise, he wrote, "His name is John." Instantly, Zechariah could speak again and began praising God. Awe fell on the whole neighborhood, and the news of what had happened spread throughout the Judean hills. Everyone who had heard about it reflected on these events and asked, "What will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord was surely upon him in a special way." Okay, that's the history of it. That's a follow-up to prophecy given by angel Gabriel to to Zechariah in the temple in the Holy of Holies, then surprisingly, this old lady, the wife of an old man, became pregnant. And then the next thing that happens is she goes into seclusion for 5 months. And we know from last week that after she came out of seclusion in the 6th month, this little girl, Mary, went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth said that her baby leaped within her womb. And Elizabeth says, basically, my child recognizes the Lord of all creation within you. And she didn't at the time know that Mary was in the family way, in the first month of her pregnancy, probably the first couple of weeks of it. The baby recognized it. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and made her statement, and then Mary made her profession before God. And now here we are. Mary hung out for 3 months. 9th month is there. Mary stayed with her until the 3 months and then went back to her own home. And when it was time, and the fullness of time, and before I say anything else related directly to that scripture, just remember the fullness of all time is not before us as of yet. As God moves, fullness comes. As God moved in a lady's heart, fullness came. For the people that didn't even want prayer, sometimes people are in difficult places. They want to blame God for something that happened to them. They don't see beyond to what, why do things happen? Sometimes it's just because of our sin. Sometimes the burden weighs totally on us. I remember one time when we had a major ice storm in the area, and Evie was with the Red Cross and was coordinating relief services. And one of those services were the Southern Baptist Chainsaw Gang. And I remember that this one lady called, and she's talking with Evie, and she's, well, this is what I guess I need their help. If they would just come and clean up the trees. And then she said at the end, she said to Evie, I just wish they were Lutheran. You know, and that seems like an oddity. Brother, I'm going to tell you, I know you're Southern Baptist, but I think of you as a Christian. He's part of the kingdom of God sitting right here. You know, and so are you all. And so are you all. As this unfolded, and they asked, what's the baby's name? Elizabeth had a long time to ponder things like that. But what she did is she said, and we don't know that Zechariah had communicated with her in any meaningful way at all about how this was all coming about. We don't know, because the scripture doesn't tell that to us. But she knew his name was John. And the people disagreed because that's not their tradition. And I will tell you, as time draws to an end, there are so many traditions that we choose to celebrate that may or may not be of God. And that'll just peel away, and it'll peel away. I can recall one of the great advantages of when Evie and I were traveling to fishing villages and logging camps. One of the great advantages is only Bible doctrine, not man doctrine, counts. And so often we put the two together. And you go, well, what do you mean? Well, if I said, if someone asked me, can a Christian consume alcohol? And this is going to be hard for you, some of you. I would say, yes. It says, the scripture says, to be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think that what's being communicated there is, don't have your judgment affected, because it affects how well you'll be led of the Lord, how well you will be able to listen when God speaks. So, and if someone asks me, and they go, well, and it's happened a lot, they say, well, how much can they drink before their judgment's affected? And what does that mean? And I say, well, I think it means 0.025 to 0.05% of 1% of your blood volume. And they go, what? Well, we know that between 0.025 and 0.05% of 1% of your blood volume, every human being's judgment is affected. So if it's below that, yeah, it's probably all right. But I would seek God. I would seek God. And I would tell you that if you go beyond that, you miss the mark. What's that three-letter word for missing the mark? A sin. Then you've sinned. But sometimes having that fourth turkey leg on Thanksgiving probably hit that sin mark too. You know, we got to think through things, but the thing that we have to be serious about is seeking God on everything, listening to Scripture, moving forward. And in this case, his name's John. What, they exclaimed, there's no one in your family by that name. So they used gestures to ask Zechariah. And he wrote down, his name is John. And instantly he could speak again and began praising God. And rightfully, awe fell on everybody. Then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He's been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. Stopping the reading there for a moment, was that about John? Or was that about a small unborn baby to be named Jesus, our Emmanuel, God with us? The first part of this is literally about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes to his son, and you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. And then it switches back. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. Starts with Jesus, goes to John, ends with Jesus. And Clive, I have to believe that while you all were there, the mere fact that you were unpaid, willing people with the photo to muck the mud out from under the floor joists of that house, that had to be backbreaking as a side note for an old guy in particular. Youngsters, I don't know. But the fact is that hauling a bucket and bucket and after bucket of mud out from under that house was a witness for whom? Jesus. It was revealing, just through physical labor, they were revealing the work of Christ. And I'm confident that you didn't ask for much in return. Yeah, could I use your restroom? A glass of water? Prophet's reward. And I can imagine that as a chaplain there, that there was a lot of tilling of the ground. Every person, whether they came to Christ or not, they were being tilled. Stumps removed, rocks moved, soil prepared, seeds planted, fertilization taking place. And yet, the harvest is on the way. It's on the way. You know, I didn't know anything about farming really before I met Evie. Now I know about this much. It's important stuff though. It dawned on me that if you don't have livestock, you got this big rush in the spring, and you got this really big rush at harvest time in the fall. And in between, there's some maintenance stuff, but you can go away. You can even kick back some and still do the work. But when the intensity points come at the beginning and at the end, you better be on task and you better be where you're supposed to be doing what you should be doing. It's okay to have the downtime in the middle, summer, winter. But when it's time to put your back into it, it's time to put your back into it. Thank you all for your service. Thank you all for your service. Don't let go on any of this stuff. today, for somebody in this world, is the day of salvation. Are you a planter? Are you a tiller? Are you a fertilizer? Are you harvesting? Because you get to play all those parts, most likely, in your life. All of those parts. And sometimes not even knowing what your witness meant to someone. Zechariah is worshiping God. I keep reading through this. I've read through it many times in the last few weeks. And not once in here do I see Zechariah asking for anything. He's making a statement of Holy Spirit-led statement of what has happened and what's going to come of it. And it models out the simplicity of God calls us to prepare for the way of the Lord. God calls you to be a John the Baptist so you can go before and prepare the way of his coming. But he also always came first and prepared the way for you. You're not going into this cold. You're going into whatever you're going into because God has prepared you for this moment. So for when that happens to be, for what it happens to be, just be available. Just be available to God. And I would tell you that for us, for all of us in here, verse 78, because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us. Another way to say that is your deliverance is close. It's close at hand. It's about to break on us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. It seems to me that that lady was living under the shadow of a tree and not quite realizing that it was the shadow of death. And to guide us to a path of peace. And then it says in verse 80, John grew up and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he began his public ministry to Israel. Didn't happen for about 30 years. Close to. And then the ministry that God had called him before he was in his mother's womb too. The ministry, and I praise God for the Pregnancy Health Center, I just want to throw that out there. Before he was ever conceived, God prepared the way for him. God began preparing him from his mother's womb to recognize Messiah. And then there was this burst of fervor when John was acting as prophet of the Most High. And remember, the glory of this was he also lost his head over it. What are you willing to give? What are you willing to give? The question's always the same answer. The cost of your salvation, it's free. It's free. But what are you willing to give in the service of your Lord? What are you willing to give to other people? Because it could be your life. Might not be. For most of us, it won't be. But it may be. What are you willing to put on the table? Remember again that word yod, open-handed unto God. All that I am, all that I'm not, all that I've got, I'm yours, Lord. Use me. This is a hard thing. It's a wonderful thing, but it's a hard thing. But again, the guarantee is he's already gone before you and prepared the way, so that you can go and prepare the way for him to come into others. Let's stand, bow our heads, and if the team would come forward. Father God, in Jesus Christ's name, we come to you. And Father, I ask you to prepare us in advance, even right now, for the little things, God, and for the big things. But Father, I know that the more we honor you in the little things, the more you'll trust us with the big things. Father, give us a heart worthy of your trust. Help us to commit our life moment by moment unto you. And even now, prepare us for this business meeting to follow. Give us a heart for you in that and in all things today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.